Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, we were talking quarter one about some of the questions that came out of this loss in snowy Michigan State. And you talked about the snow being a factor and how much passing they did versus running the ball. They did have some success. There were a couple big runs by Kevon Lee. And if you look at his statistics, 15 carries, 83 yards, that's not too bad. The problem comes, as it's been all year, fourth and one, they can't get the job done. First of all, what is happening when they do try to just run the ball fourth and one and they don't make it? Is it a breakdown in the offensive line? Is it the running back not hitting the hole quick enough? What is technically going on when they fail?
So I understand the question. It is a bit like saying, hey, when it snows, what's going on? Like, it's probably different every time. So that there's a general theme, but like, I don't know the atmospheric conditions on each one to give you an example. But let me give you an example of what's going on in this particular game. When it was third down, or, you know, one of those situations where they need to go for it, or they were trying to get a short yardage play, Michigan State, one of their particular strengths is Jacob Slade, the defensive tackle on the interior. He's just running upfield. He's just pressuring the line and forcing the other player to cut. In that situation, Kevon Lee is looking to find another hole. And when he's looking to find another hole, he loses forward momentum and he doesn't bury his head to get into the line of scrimmage to just get 1 yard, to hit the eject button and just try to get 1 yard, because the point of attack has been eliminated. That is, I think, pretty common when it comes to Penn State's problems in that area, whether it's an obvious run fit so everyone knows where the ball is going, or if it's a misread by the running back. So it's not just one thing. It's the cascade of issues caused by the initial pressure from the defensive line, which you have to expect at this point. You have to expect that they're going to get penetration on those short yardage plays, because one of two things is going to happen if they don't try to worry about their run fit. They just run upfield, they hit a guy, they pressure a gap. Either it's a pass play and they're going to get pressure or move the pocket a little bit, or it's a run play and they're going to force a cut. And the Penn State running backs have not been visually able to find the gaps there to then make a move and get 1 yard. So it's kind of a little, I don't want to say it's a little bit of everything, but that's really the issue of one thing forces the other, and then that reaction is poor on the second reaction of those plays. Again, in the snow against Michigan State, if you force somebody to cut, you've won. Kevon Lee, I think, a couple of times did pretty well just to get 0 yards. But in those situations, either third and short or fourth and short, you needed to get a yard, and they couldn't do it.
Knowing that, and knowing that with snow or without snow, this has been an issue all season. And you could tell by the coaching. I mean, the game where fake field goal from the 2-yard line because you weren't confident in your short yardage offense. Twice from a near midfield, they had fourth and one and chose to punt the ball. Again, showing that lack of confidence in it. But then, at least to my eyes, when they had fourth and one and failed, when they had second and one and failed, when they had third and one and failed and fumbled, it looked like they were doing the same thing. Shouldn't you, by this point in the season, say, gee, this isn't working on short yardage situation. We need to do something a little bit different.
They've failed in short yardage in every single way this year, Jim. Don't forget that. They've also failed throwing the football in fourth and short. So, I agree. and that's what I said in the first quarter, is I think the area that I have my most criticism is they should have thrown the ball in those situations, because the reason they're running the ball is we think that with this terrain and with this situation, Kevon Lee can surely get 1 yard by, you know, just finding a way through the slop to get there. But it works both ways that way. And Penn State has the better athletes in space. So put people in space, force them to make a move, and watch them fall down. That is how I would have done it, and that's how Michigan State did it in those situations. So again, yes, that's exactly where I think the real failing of this situation happens. I want to just address one thing. When they punt from midfield in the snow in a low-scoring game where they got 9 possessions, so we're talking about a field position supposed to be a defensive battle, the defense gave up a 99-yard drive, something they haven't done all year. So that changes the calculus of a team that had been good at stopping guys, making field position bad, and putting their offense back in position later to get the ball back. And they just never got the ball back. So that's a huge part of this, too, is when they're punting from midfield and 4th and 1, last week when they did that, they gave up 3 yards per drive against Rutgers. I understand it's not Rutgers, but you expect something at least comparable, something that resembles the same defensive performance, and they gave up a 15-play drive, a 15-play drive, a 9-play drive, and a 99-yard drive. You just can't do that and win, especially if you are trying to play a defensive battle, grind it out, which both teams were doing.
Let's talk about the defense a little bit here, because they weren't without sin in this game. As you pointed out, they gave up the long drives. But the scary trend to me was they got the lead back in the second half, and in part thanks to the defense with the pick six. But we've now seen this defense give up big scoring plays in the second half with the lead. Here you had, you know, Penn State couldn't make 4th and 1, and Michigan State was making 4th and 14, 3rd and 13, pass interference. Yeah. It feels like it has now become a trend that the defense is giving up big plays with the lead in the second half. What are you seeing there? Where's the breakdown on the defense happening?
So
A little bit of everything, right, T-Frank?
Well, no. So part of this is, as critical as I have been this week about the Penn State defense, when you're in this type of environment, everything's a coin toss. Everything. So the evaluation of this game and trying to be, you know, the frustration of Penn State football fans that they lost this game. I understand that part of it is it was a garbage time touchdown, essentially, where they scored with 59 seconds left, and the reality of winning the game was gone once they fumbled the ball and Michigan State converted that 4th and 15. So I understand that it's not as close as it looked. But it was still as close as it was until, like, 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. And a fumble is the reason they weren't in this game, despite everything I just said about what the defense did. So a lot of this is just a coin toss because, guys, it was a snow game. It changes everything. So the Penn State defense, if we want to get into it specifically about the reason they struggled, other than what Michigan State was doing on 3rd down and 4th down to force that, Johnny Dixon is in the game in that 4th down situation. And he just got mossed. He got boxed out on that play. That's not a good play by him. Same thing of Kalen King making a freshman mistake against Michigan State. They're playing these young guys because they want them ready for next year, and they believe that they can go out and make those plays. I don't know exactly what to tell you about those situations of, yeah, they have defensive breakdowns in the secondary. It's isolated incidents that all add up to what you've seen. I don't have a common thread for all of those things. But in this particular game, they're not built to play in the snow. They're a fast-flowing, aggressive defense that normally shuts down most opponents, as we saw this year. But in the snow, their speed is irrelevant. Brandon Smith is a big, long, linear athlete that's trying to close and play. And sometimes I was watching him, he's just playing like it's not 2 inches of snow on the ground. And he missed. So there you go. That's what happened. It was snowy. And no one wants that analysis, but it was snowy.
So your technical analysis of the game is it snowed.
That's correct. But that is a part of it. And I understand for all the people that don't want excuses and they think that literally any explanation is an excuse of, well, Michigan State played in the snow too. And that's what I'm saying. Yes, they were in the snow as well and they handled it better. But to say that the snow doesn't matter is 100% wrong. It is factually incorrect. Penn State did not handle that critical element of the game as well as Michigan State did. And the factors and the reasons are what I laid out of they are built to play in those conditions where they can run and hit. Michigan State, on offense, they just played a better game by the play calls and designs that they put out there.
I think we're Penn State fans, and I include myself as part of this, any of these situations or games that they lost, you could really look at the specifics of that game and essentially say, well, that happens. The problem is it seems like so many of these games, it happened to Penn State. I'll give you an example and where I'm going with this, and I wanted to ask you about Joey Porter anyway. Every defensive back is going to be called for pass interference at some point. It's a tough position to play. You're put in a tough position. And a lot of calls, they could go either way. But when they're called on you, it becomes a major factor in the game. I could accept the randomness of this until you start seeing it game after game after game. And that's what we're seeing now from Joey Porter. I don't know how many pass interference calls there's been in the last few games, but there's been too many. What have you seen from him? Is it just a series of, well, they called it on him, unlike they could have not called it on him? It was just random. The official called it that day. Or are we seeing a trend where he's just using his hands way too much?
Again, it's yes to both. And this is what James Franklin said after the game, is you develop a reputation. Coaches turn in the film of what they expect before the game. This is a part of the, like, okay, so we think this guy cheats by doing this, so be on the lookout for this. Each team does that. And Joey Porter Jr. has gotten more calls as the season has gone on because that's his reputation. I don't think it was terribly egregious on the first call what happened. And let me explain that particular play. And it kind of goes to the second one as well. Joey Porter Jr. is in great position most of these plays, where he is big, fast, and physical, and he's in phase the way he's supposed to be in the route. On the first play, he's in such good position that he's looking for a back shoulder pass because he's thinking there's no way they're throwing this downfield. I'm here. And a couple of times this year, he's been burned back shoulder because he hasn't looked. So he looked, and when he looked, they called it. I didn't think that the positioning was bad. I don't think he really used his hands that much, but that's one of those where he got called because he's the guy. The second one, he grabbed because he panics at the catch point. And that part is something that happens every game.
And it's just been happening a little too often these last several games. All right, T. Frank, that is it for quarter number two. Stick around. In quarter number three, we're going to take your questions and we're going to ask T. Frank.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.